Good evening, Patriots. You know, we think about where we are right now and what we're how we're fighting, and we think about this Luciferian left, and there is this big emphasis right now on coming together and unifying. And you probably hear a little harder line from me, at least I hope you do, because we're not dealing with, there's a level of humanity that has to come together, but we have to kind of develop the terms and the focus of what it is that we're coming together on. Because we got here where we are right now because people walked away from God. So I'm never going to be one that opens my arms and say, come running to our side and join us, without first talking about repenting, coming to Christ, and fighting together as God's children, truly under his fold. And that's what we're going to kind of dig into tonight. Before we begin, Expedition Coffee, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com. On that, when you go there, and you can get there by going directly to expeditioncoffee.com, or you can go to the front page of bardsfm.com and click on the Expedition Coffee logo, and it'll take you right to that same page. And you scroll down, you're going to see all the great products, the Expedition Coffee, which is designed for your health and your to minimize your reduce your stress and increase your focus and your memory, and while at the same time supporting your digestive system and your body health. You're also going to find on that same page the Gut Health Triad, which is a fantastic series of three products that are designed specifically to heal and seal your gut. And in addition to that, we've added two new products, which I'm really excited about, which is Immune XP, which is a immune boosting system based on pine cone extract, humic and folic acid. It takes a few drops each day, and it just goes a long way in boosting your immune health, your immune system overall. And in addition to that, is Pure 47, which is the highest grade of spherical nano silver supplement, which is like the colloidal silver, but on a whole nother level. And it's incredible at dealing with health and immune system boosting and isolating a lot of these challenges that we're facing in the environment right now that are trying to destroy our bodies. So I'd highly recommend you cruise on over there and check these out. These are some of the highest grade products out there. All of these products have involved Dr. Eric Naputi in the development. It's a real honor to be able to have them on the site and to be able to offer them. And it's something I feel very strongly about, because in this day and age, with all this health nonsense going on, and in addition to that, just the stress of what's going on, these things are all designed to help reduce your stress, boost, heal and seal your gut, increase your immune system strength, and enhance your clarity and mental focus. And I'm using them. I endorse them. They're fantastic products. Also, mypillow.com/bards. So MyPillow is a fantastic company, obviously, with the great CEO, Mike Lindell, who has fought for America in so many ways, an American patriot and a Christian who fights like one. And so we've been honored with having our on their website, having a subpage, which is MyPillow.com/Bards. And that's thanks to all of your great support of what we've given to MyPillow. So head on over to MyPillow.com/Bards, B-A-R-D-S. Use your promo code Bards, B-A-R-D-S. There's some great deals on those page on that page, exceptional deals, in fact. Sale on Giza sheets, 50% off on my slippers, towel sets for $39.99. You can also use the promo code anywhere on the site, but go there and use your promo code Bards, and know that when you buy from MyPillow, a portion of those dollars go to the fight for liberty in every dollar you spend. So that's fantastic. Okay. So one of the problems that we have overall, in my opinion, is we haven't really come to know or accept the malevolence of the enemy that we're facing. One thing that every soldier, every warrior has to do is get to know his enemy. You have to know what you're up against. When we hear the story of Joshua in Jericho, leading his army, what sits behind those walls in Jericho is obviously, if you know nothing more about the story than just reading the biblical passage, you know that what sits behind Jericho is pure evil. And the fact that God not only sanctioned the collapse of the walls, but sanctioned the slaying of every man, woman, and donkey in the city. That should give you an idea of the intensity, not only of your enemy, because it's the same enemy, just a different time, a different place, but also consider the intensity of those that were fighting it, Joshua and his army. We're in this love and hugs period right now, which is, anytime we get into love and hugs, I start to want to literally throw up in my mouth. And I've been seeing a lot of stuff circulating around about, you know, this place of let's talk about truth and let's bring everybody together and let's unify. How about this? How about instead of talking about truth, let's talk about repentance and coming to Christ, and then let's stand together with God and fight this army and fight this enemy, okay? And I'm saying this because we have to have some discernment now. Otherwise, we're just making a blender of nonsense, which is pretty much New Age crap. And I'm not into New Age junk. And there's a lot of that going around. There's a hesitation for people to come out and proclaim God, to proclaim their love in Christ. And the thing is that when you read Paul, and I like reading Apostle Paul, like I was reading last night from Thessalonians, there is an intensity. There is a very clear one way or another way. And it's hard for people to get hold of that. They've lived in a world where everything is kind of like, well, maybe a little and maybe a little of that, and we can do a little here. Everything's going to be cool. No, everything's not going to be cool. Okay. So let me read again this little piece last night that I read last night. And I'm going to read this, what I read last night, part of what I read last night, 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 to probably 12. And I just want you to hear the tenor of this and the very clear delineation of what is accepted and what is not. And it goes, we command you, keywords, we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me stop right there a minute. Could you imagine in this day and age going, I command you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. People are like, dude, get out of my turf. I'm done. I don't want to hear that nonsense. No, this is different. This is a different era. This is when they understood and they feared God as they should. And the apostles were speaking in that terms of God in Christ Jesus. So I'll start again. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. And that part of that tradition is the acceptance of Christ in your heart. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might be able to burden, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living. This is a definitive statement. And it shows you the intensity of commitment and conviction to God. Even on my own path here, and I'll be very honest, I mean, I've walked carefully into getting a place where I can speak with this firmness, because we live in a culture that so many people that have been raised in, that have been raised around faith in Christianity and the church, have learned this love thy neighbor and accept and we must bend and we must bow, and it's nonsense. That narrow path that we've talked about is an intense path, and it's a path of conviction. So as I've talked repeatedly, and I spoke again today on my Brighteon show earlier today, is there are three paths, not two. There is the obvious path of following into this trap of this Luciferian hell that they're trying to pull everybody in. Mind control, subjugation, total loss of control of yourself, putting you into the metaverse. I'm going to speak to that about that tomorrow night. All these things. Then you have this middle path, which is the lure of, and I call it MAGA because it's the lure of money and getting wealthy again and driving nice cars again and having debt again. And it's all good because it's because we've got new players on the street, and they're all good and they're going to be better people, and all of it's nonsense because it's just another version of Babylon. I mean, it's like Babylon Light. And anytime you start with Babylon Light, it's going to get to be Babylon Intense after a few generations. And then you have this other path, which would be the path, in my opinion, Paul would walk, Apostle Paul. And that's the path of we're walking with God. There's no compromise here. God doesn't ask us to worship money. He doesn't ask us to build up our empires of things. He's asking us to walk purely with him, and with that, there are some very defined ways in which we live and which others must live as well. And when we get to that place, which is completely against the grain of this current culture, which is basically, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what it does to you, but my life is important, or the other side, it's like, don't tell me what to do. Well, okay, God's going to tell you what to do if you listen. And it's that place right there that when you arrive there, it's the same place that Joshua's at, same place that Paul is at. This is the place that Gideon's at. That when they step into this place, they understand very clearly that there is a direction that God has them going in, and there's no compromises on this. So now I want you to think in terms of this war that we're dealing with. We're dealing with a Luciferian cult that has an army of obedient slaves, and they see winning at any cost as the way through this, because their ultimate goal is the destruction of anything that loves God and loves liberty. They will never stop, and I've said this before, and I mean this, that in the sum of things, they are more loyal and more convicted to their God than we are to the one God, our God. That's an incredible statement. And yet they are more loyal, they are more convicted, they are more dedicated to their God and their worship of their God, Moloch, Baal, Baphomet, whatever form it's taking, than we are loyal and obedient to our own God. And that should bother you like it bothers me a lot. So, to hit things, because I'm not going to be gender specific, because now it's spilled over into both genders just as much. It's an equal 50-50 split, and that's things like addiction to porn. If you're cruising on addiction to porn and you're thinking still you're okay with being with God, I want you to think about the other side for a minute. If their God told them, don't watch porn, they would stop because they would be so fearful of the consequences of what their God would bring. On our side, God's become in so many people's mind like a big marshmallow. It's like, he's okay. It's cool, man. He's going to let us go. He loves us. It's all right. No, we have been told not to do these things. And the things that we've been told not to do are the things that we have to be obedient to. So there's not gray space here, okay? There's no gray space. But we've lived in a world where there's lots of gray space, and it's not acceptable if we're going to win this fight. Part of winning this fight is to literally deny them the opportunity of compliance and obedience. And that's easy when we walk with God and we have accepted Christ and we're walking within the body of Christ. There is no obedience to their way. Christ never bowed to them. Even to the last minute, he didn't bow to them. That's the intensity of path that we have to walk on, and that's part of knowing your enemy, because in understanding what this enemy is going to do, they are going to, as this thing starts to unravel on one level of the intense side, a bunch of those rats are bailing, and they're coming over, and they're going to come to that middle ground, and you're going to hear them take forms like, I'm a whistleblower. And this is an example. I'm a whistleblower. I had no idea it was this bad. I had no idea. I was very concerned about the shot, and no one would listen to me, and I was afraid for my life, but I kept quiet, and but now I've realized that there's only one way to do this. It's to come forward and tell the truth. Like, all right, why don't you start by getting on your knees and repenting to Christ and start there, and then we'll start talking about where truth is, because at least then I know that if you're telling the truth, God's going to smote you down like a burning marshmallow. So this is where I'm going, is that we have to get into the mindset that this is there isn't options here. You've heard me say this a number of times in the last couple of weeks. It's like this idea of saying, okay, you can't mandate a shot. So what does that mean? That if you want to take the shot, it's good. And if you don't want to take the shot, it's good. I mean, that's not an option if we're really standing with God. And this is where it's the type of fight that you're in, okay? When you get into the ring, any form of it, if you're a martial arts fighter, if you're a mixed martial arts fighter, if you're a boxer, if you're a wrestler, and you know those intensities. I wrestled for 6 years. I did martial arts for about 10 years. You know those intensities. It's one-on-one, man, and you one wins and one loses. It's not options in between. You don't get to go, well, you know, I'm going to kind of walk the center ground. That doesn't work, and it doesn't happen. This is the fight we're in. There is a winner and there is a loser. Part of being on the winning team has a few set of rules. One of them is you need to repent and come over to Christ. And a whole bunch of people are going to tell me, we can't do that because not everybody wants to be pressed with Jesus stuff. We don't want to all become Jesus freaks. Well, okay, then you're not on my team. You're on that center team, which is called MAGA or whatever we want to call it. But it's that center team. That's cool. Keep walking over there. I don't care. Because that's not my team. My team sits over here and we walk with Christ. We've repented. We've accepted Christ in our heart. And this is the place where we walk. Where we are at now is not a matter of worrying where other people are. It's a choice that we are making and a mental focus that we're putting on things. I have no concern what a person chooses to do other than the fact that in the walk that I make, I better be clear where I'm going. And if we're all in that mindset, we're going forward in the right direction. Part of our path, though, is to reach out across the aisle, so to speak. That's part of our walk. That's discipleship. And it's a necessary component to what God expects of us. And it is a place where when we reach out, it isn't a part of reaching out on the part of love and hugs and accepting everything. That's where I'm getting at with this. So if someone's saying, I'm joining that fight, okay, good. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about Christ Jesus. Let's talk about what that looks in this world. Oh, I don't know about that. You know, I'm not a Jesus freak. Okay, then you're not really on this team. You're on that center team. You're walking with that center group of guys that you want to go out there and play that game of New Age nonsense and Unitarian crap and whatever else it is. And walk there. But we're getting into a much more intense part of this battle. And this is a fight where it's going to define our futures very, very clearly. And where we walk in this path and how pure we are with that walking in Christ is defining the intensity of this remnant. And it's necessary. Because this is essentially the moral ground in which the world is going to be reset upon. And we're not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not even going there. but it's the intent that matters. And that intent is that we're putting God first on all things. We're not putting money first. We're not trying to, this, you've heard me talk about it. I roll my eyes every time I hear some comment about the Nasara Jasara nonsense. And the one part that I love is, oh yeah, but it's blessed. And it's like, where, really? Since when did God need money to change the world? So we are in a time right now when you have to use discernment. You're in a time right now that you have to be making a choice of who you're going to worship and who you're going to follow. All of these steps is along the way, as I see the world, is God moving people through step by step to see, to bringing them to that through the each step of the narrow gate. And the narrow gate, once you're on it, doesn't mean you're on it, staying on it, because that's the incredible thing about the narrow gate and the wide gate. Each path that we go up, there's like this little side path that can take you right on down to the wide gate again if you want to go there. And so as we climb, you're seeing politicians, you're seeing leaders, you're seeing or social influencers, you're seeing who's who, who's doing what. Okay. You're seeing patriot rallies now that are charging $3,000 for VIP seats. Okay. You're seeing politicians that not one politician has said anything about the soldiers that are leaving the military and being given general courts martials and dishonorable discharges because they refuse to take the vax. Not one politician. I wonder why that is. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that most politicians are invested in Pfizer as their primary stock, but just saying. And yet these are the same, these same politicians are out here talking to you about Fauci, Jim Jordan. Fauci's a bad guy. He needs to be held accountable. Okay, Jim Jordan. Where is that accountability of saying that the vax is killing people? Where is it? Because it's not coming out of his mouth. Everybody that we have looked at and to expected to lead is mum on this bioweapon, or worse, they're telling you that you should take it. This is a time of discernment. And God is showing us the truth. And the one thing that we should all be leaving with this is a high skepticism towards those people in power and a pure focus towards God and where he's leading us. But that takes that rigid place. I have no idea if there's an agenda behind some of these people. I'm not going to make that accusation. I can sure make the inference. I have no idea whether these people are intentionally part of a like some major psyop against us where you've got two ends playing everybody to the middle, to the same end, which the good cop, bad cop model, maybe. I have no idea if some of these people are promoting the vax simply to keep patriots pissed off so that they'll stand against it. I don't know. But what I do know is the only true path here is God's path. And at the end, the one thing that's absolutely clear is in this game, we all have to step back and realize that we cannot put trust in the institutions of men. That includes your military, that includes your police, that includes the our favorite agency, the IRS, it includes the U.S. Marshals, it includes CIA, it includes NSA, it includes every form of government down to the housing and welfare societies. Nobody in these leadership roles can be trusted. And you're also seeing that same corruption within the corporate realm. And you're seeing that same corruption even in small business, because small businesses that are bowing down and believing and living in this world of panic and fear are part of the problem. Society is going to be defined in its success by the path in which we walk with God and the truth. It's that simple. And whether we save humanity or not, we are never going to vary from that path. At least I won't. And that path could end up with a handful of people in the end. But it's going to be a pure path. In that path, I don't care if people have taken the injection or not. I really don't. But I will tell you this. If you've taken the injection and I'm on that path for me, and you're going to walk with me, you're not getting on my path unless you're repenting, and I mean seriously repenting, and you're reconnecting with God and accepting accountability and responsibility for the fact that you walked away from God, and now you've come back to God, and that you may have physical consequences. And you may also be a viral carrier, which is another issue we'll have to cross the bridge on. But there's some very defined places we have to be at. Again, when you jump ahead to embrace and bring everybody together, don't move so quick. Let's walk across that gap. Let's walk together into the place where Christ is before you first, before leaping and going, I'm here, it's all good now, don't worry, I woke up, I'm all fine. You'll remember, if you've seen the movie, The Matrix, you'll remember that inside one of the guys betrayed them. And he was part of the group, but he wasn't dedicated deep like the others. And this is exactly where I'm going with this. And in the end, he betrays him. And he sits at a dining table and they feed him steak. And he puts the steak in his mouth and he basically says this: I know this steak is fake. I know that there are stimuluses going on in my brain to make me believe that this flavor is real. I know that the texture, the thing that I'm chewing, is not real, but I'm being told in my brain that it's real. But I'm happy to live that way. That's the difference of one world and a shallow commitment versus one who dedicates themselves to that path of Christ and knows that even in getting, if you were pinned yourself on a cross, you would never break. And why do you know you could do that? Is because Christ is within you. You've given yourself to the body of Christ and through Christ to the Father. And under no circumstances do you ever bend. And that is in that commitment is all things in your life. There's no variation. There's no deviance from that path. Again, it doesn't mean you're walking without sin. It doesn't mean that you're walking in perfection. It means you're trying to walk within the perfection of Christ. You're striving for that, and you're humble enough that each day you're beginning your day with repentance to say, Lord, these are the things that I feel I've done, and show me those others that I have that I don't see, but give me strength now to stand back up and be better than I was the day before. It's a very important place here that what I'm talking about here tonight, because there is an accelerated movement to build unity above people. And really that unity is about politics. It's not about faith. And I'm happy to see people get along and not be in a place where we can't even talk about things. That's just immature and stupid, to be frank. But in a deeper level of cohesion, if we're really going to reset this nation as it was designed, then we need to go to the first sentence of the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, where it tells us that we're given unalienable rights by our Creator of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What that does in that moment with that priority is it establishes God on the throne above all things in this nation. We are the only nation, to my knowledge, that has ever been created as a theological monarchy with God on the throne above all things. That's the true sense of what we were designed to be. Underneath that, we are subordinate to God, obviously. But with that blessing and that acceptance, God has given us the right to choose those that we wish to govern the affairs of state. And that's what we use our free will for and our discernment and our faith in Him for, because all of us are accountable to God. And then under us, the government is accountable to us. They are subordinate to us. God, people, government. where we live right now is it is government, slaves, and if you're looking for God, look over on the ditch somewhere where they've cast God as some side parlor trick or a circus sideshow. And if you're looking for God in the people, you're going to find a whole bunch of them not looking at God at all, but looking up at the state. This is the world that we're currently in. So the question you have to ask is, unity at what cost? I always have at the beginning of this of the Bards FM show that you have to understand the line between tolerance and intolerance. And when I first did that, a lot of people were like, that's not Christian. I'm like, okay, so if I don't have a line between tolerance and intolerance, then what you're telling me is I'm supposed to tolerate everything. So if I tolerate everything, I believe in nothing. Scripture tells us very clearly that there is a path to choose and there is a path not to choose. And as this very convoluted and deception-driven war has evolved, there are a couple of paths that, probably more than one, but two fairly clear paths that if you choose them, you're not walking close to God. And if we truly take that path, which is the God path, it is very much like an Exodus. And it's going to be a little scary at times for some. But that's where our faith comes in. Because when we have those moments and we turn to God, God lifts that. And it's just a reminder, trust in me. Trust in me. Jeremiah 6:16 defines it very well. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. So they chose in that passage, those that choose not to do that are choosing a separate path. And it's not blessed off. The only path that's blessed off is asking the Lord for the ancient path. It is very important that we remember these simple things, and I remind myself of them every day. It's our nature and human nature to basically forgive and forget. In this period of time right now, before we forgive and forget, there has to be accountability. And that's one of the critical components of this process of awakening for me. You have to be accountable for where you were. You have to be accountable for what you've done. And you have to be accountable then to each other before everything gets to be all love and hugs. But most importantly, we have to be accountable to God, and we have to be accountable to Christ Jesus, our Lord. When we're accountable to Christ, and that's repentance, and through Christ to the Father, then we begin the process of accountability in ourself and our accountability to each other. And then we start to really come together. But if we're not going to put accountability up front and just go, hey, I've got some truth for you, will you listen? And someone says, okay, I'm willing to listen. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. I can't believe this. Yeah, I'm going to come over and join you guys. I mean, that's like getting a date at the bar and having a one-night stand. And then thinking it's going to be a romance that's going to last you for your whole life and you're going to be madly in love and have two kids and two and a half dogs and a fence, a white picket fence. I mean, come on. Right? The process here is just absolutely essential that God goes to the foundations of all that we do, and through repentance, we bring ourselves together. For me, that's the only path. And for me, that puts me on the outside of a lot of the noise and the nonsense that's out here. It doesn't put me in the line of politics. It doesn't put me in the line of pro-vax, anti-vax. It puts me in a line with God, which in by nature, when you're in a line with God, you're not going to take a stupid injection anyway. It's pretty simple. And the other thing it doesn't do is doesn't suck me down into the worship of money. And the problem I have with both the extreme Luciferian crazies and this sort of center path of MAGA is everything is about ultimately about money and wealth. I'm not about that. And when we go down those places and try to convince ourselves of things like, well, we can't fight this war because we don't have enough money. We can't fight this war because we don't have some big backer. You've already lost. You've already lost because you didn't do the first thing first. You didn't turn to God and say, God, this is your fight. Now point me in the direction of where you want me to go, and I will follow, and I will be obedient to you. And Lord, all I ask, when I ask for things, if I don't need them, point me in the right direction. But when you need me to do something, I trust in you that you will bring to me whatever I need. But that isn't about, that's not a prosperity gospel like Creed Low Dollar and getting a $450 million for his damn plane or something. This is about trusting in God to fulfill what is needed because it's God's fight that we're walking in and we're being obedient to God in this process. And with that, we're going to find all sorts of other people that are in that path to walk together because we are walking to create a different and better world. I don't know what that looks like. We don't have those answers, but God's with us. God's going to guide us. And when we arrive, as we arrive there, because it's going to be an evolving piece, I think we will find an unbelievable satisfaction in this path. And it will be tough and it will be challenging beyond belief. But what greater way to live than to live with something that is a true challenge to rise up to be, to give grace to our Father and to honor our Father in all that we do. So let me close tonight with Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, with God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, sometimes you read something and it's like, I don't even know what to say after that. That's perfection. That's truth. And that is our path. And that's the path out of the matrix. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are graced this evening to reflect deeply on Scripture and to reflect deeply on those very defined paths that are being set before us. Lord, we ask for your blessing and your grace as we walk here, that we may walk in such a way as to honor you in each and every breath, to not ever deviate from that connection with you, to realize that we are nothing without you, and that in this world, all things of greatness are always connected to you. All things of simplicity are always connected to you. Every moment, no matter how grand or how small, is connected to you. May we appreciate that in each of our steps and breath. Lord, we are deeply humbled by the sacrifices that have been given to bring us to this time, to allow us life, the sacrifice of your only Son. And Lord, what that means to us each is something greater than words can describe, though what we know is that as we build this walk together, that unity is built within the acceptance of Christ within our heart. Lord, in this time when unity is now becoming the new driver, sadly, too much of the emphasis being placed on political differences, let us hear you, let us feel you, let us embrace what the sacrifice of Christ truly meant, that it is unity through repentance, through the acceptance of Christ, and through Christ to you, Father, that we finally return to you as one. Guide us, protect us, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Let us truly understand each other through the words that you bless us with, the actions which you grace us with, and an ability to walk in this world and be recognized not as something greater because of our ego, but because we stand out because of the love of Christ that radiates through us. And in so doing, let us bring the many home to unify under the banner of our Lord Jesus Christ and to truly bank in a standing remnant that's greater than we ever imagined. Thank you, Lord. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, Patriots, it's a powerful time. And I think it's a time that as people are awakening, there's different places that they're at. But we have to remember that many have never embraced or been exposed to the glories of the relationship with Christ. So as we set those firm boundaries, we also have to reach across and show and share with the greatness of what we hold in our hearts and what God represents. And this is where things can always get a bit confusing, because in the teachings, it's accept, accept, accept. Well, I do accept, but to embrace in this walk together, we have to come into the fold of our Father. And as we come into the fold of our Father, it is through Christ Jesus that we get to our Father. So as we do that, that's the conversation that truly brings the true unity and the true strength in this fight. Relationships now of unity built on politics will last only during this time of crisis. It's like a relationship that you see somebody build in a war zone. What brings them together in a war zone, a man and a woman, is the intensity, the drama, the fear, all of this sort of thing that's rolling around in life that brings them, binds them together. But when that all goes away and they have to truly face each other for who they are, seldom does the marriage survive or the relationship survive. Because in the end, that one pinning thing, which is not about love, but about fear or anger or hatred or anxiety, that's the binding glue. And that's not God's doing. In fact, that's a sin. So for now, we have to demonstrate our strength in love, what truly the power of what love is. And we extend it, we share it. And for those that embrace it and come over, it is a beautiful walk with more. But for those that don't want to really jump into it, then there comes that place where sometimes we just have to let them walk on by. At the end of the day, each of us is making a choice. I know where my choice is, and I assume most of you are the same. We're walking with Christ, and through the body of Christ to the Father. And I can't think of a more glorious walk to make. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent, always press into this fight. Prayers are the foundation not just of our connection with God, but the clarity and discernment that we need in this time. Our true line is based on truth in the relationship with Father. And as we walk that true line, we gain immeasurable strength and clarity. And it's there that we can firmly hold that line, because it's what we're holding is that true line with God. God is with us, and he's with us each and every step. And the only challenge we face regularly is whether we keep God with us all the time, whether we trust in God all the time, or whether we even go so far as to doubt God at times. That's our problem, not God's problem. And what God's doing right now is fighting this fight. He's winning this war. But the glorious part is God's working through us. He's sifting through us and sorting us, and he's working through us. And for each that will stand, God gives much. For each that will push in and trust in God gives more. Whatever that looks like in your life. In the end, God is going to win this. He has no problem. He's got it. But the glorious part about this time is God is using us, and in the process, we are learning and we are growing and we are becoming greater in him throughout this. So that in itself is an interesting statement as I close, because as no matter what it looks like out here in this world, the fact that God is using us, raising us, and we are becoming greater in him means that we have already won as long as we stay on this path, no matter what it looks like on the ground. I'll see you tomorrow night for Bards FM and Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, good night, thank you, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now. I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay. Sets down over the hill where the lost got found, reaching through somehow. Oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith,
when your soul answers calls far away. Something to find.